swings it in. The U.S. go up. What a goal from Carlos Bocanegra.
Going to try a long hit. What a goal from Lloyd. This is spectacular. It's hit with no regard for humanity. Is this the moment for Shaqiri? Yes, it is. Switzerland. And Shaqiri has scored in the 90th minute. That was worth the price of admission alone.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome in, everybody. Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Thank you for tuning in. We stream at ESPN975.com. The call-in number, 713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN. We're talking everything today from Arsenal to the Houston Dynamo to TV rights and the Women's World Cup, plus J.J. Watt and Kalia Ojai are going to invest in soccer. You got to love it. We got a lot to talk about today, and it's a good, happy day. My producer's in a good mood. I was very concerned about Andrew Carlson today with this Arsenal game. I wanted to see Arsenal finish this season with aplomb. Whether they win it or not against City, they're now the second horse in the race, maybe to some degree because of games in hand. But it is not over. Do not ever say it's over till it's over, Yogi Berra. But today was important to get back in a winning column and in a winning way. They did it against Arsenal. Some of this is about how bad Chelsea is. Some of this is about how good Arsenal is. It's a happy day. We're going to talk about that with Andrew. Big thank you, as always, to John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm, our presenting sponsors. By the way, their outstanding attorney of the week, Daniel Perez. We're gonna put that out there. Also want to thank you for all the kind birthday wishes. That was nice. And I appreciate our great man, Guillermo Lazo Romero, who does a lot of our social media and puts all these fantastic videos together, puts the clips together. He put something out today and kind of surprised me. So thank you for that, Guillermo. I appreciate that. All right, so Arsenal 3-1 winners today at the Emirates over Chelsea. Martin Odegaard, 18th minute, 31st minute. Gabriel Jesus in the 34th. All right, first win since April 1st. That seems like a long time ago. It's three goals. You did it in 34 minutes. I mean, to see Frank Lampard sitting there is just, it's almost like a bit of a dream. I mean, that guy just emotionless. Barcelona today were winners, 1-0 over Osasuna. Osasuna will play in the Copa del Rey final against Real Madrid on Sunday. Jordi Alba getting the goal today against Osasuna. By the way, Osasuna is a great story. And a former employee of the Houston Dynamo, Hector Casteltort, is over there in media relations, and he's having one heck of a good time with Osasuna. It's a very provincial team, has some of its own cultural kind of connection. Very, very cool story. And the fact that they got to the Copa del Rey final against Real Madrid is big in its own way. I hope they win that. I mentioned J.J. Watt and Kalia Ojai have become minority investors in Burnley. Okay, before we get into Arsenal, our guest tonight, all right, Andrew, this one's for you, kind of. Felipe Senderos, the former Arsenal defender, played there 7 years, over 100 appearances, also played for Switzerland 57 times in a couple of World Cups. He's on the show today. That's an interview I did earlier this morning based on the time change. He had a brief tenure here in Houston, as you remember, 10 games. He was hurt here a lot. He became the sporting director at Servette in Switzerland. Servette is the club that he grew up in. He's got a great story of where, you know, his apartment looked down on the lit field and how every day he saw this visual of basically in his mind, one day I want to play in there. So that's an interesting piece. But we're going to talk about him going from the field to being a sporting director and the challenges that brought. So it's kind of a life after football thing. Same goes for Josh Gardner, former Houston area youth player, went to the University of Cincinnati, left college early to join MLS. He was then drafted by the LA Galaxy. Ziggy Schmidt is the one who drafted him. Rest in peace, Ziggy. Played also for Seattle in the USL, then made his way back to Major League Soccer with the Columbus Crew, Sporting Kansas City, was at Sporting KC in player development for years. He's going to handle the Houston Rangers in MLS next year. So we're going to talk some player development for him. And the three MLS next teams in Houston are Total Football, obviously the Houston Dynamo of Major League Soccer, and this new Houston Rangers venture. I also want to thank SG1 Soccer, my friend Alex Parra, Norma out there, and Katie. The club and their staff put on a nice kick cancer event on Sunday night. We raised dollars. We created awareness. We are giving back. Nobody's going to stop us from giving back in the community. And thank you, SG1, for that. All right, let's get some happy from Arsenal. 3-1 over Chelsea. Let's start it off here with Martin Odegaard's opening goal, which was a big one.
Jesus. Xhaka. And Odegaard! Beauty. That is a lovely hit. And it has cheered up Arsenal plenty.
So that's Odegaard 18 minutes in. He would get a second. This is a great day for him in the 31st.
Jesus. Trossard.
Mikel Arteta said a lot to be proud about in this performance today.
Really proud for the players. Obviously, we have discussed the last few days the importance of getting back to who we are and having that feeling again on the field. A London derby, a really special day for our supporters, and I think we made them proud with our performance, with the goals that we scored, and how much spirit and against and togetherness we showed on that pitch.
All right, so let's talk some Arsenal, Andrew, and I'm going to just make a couple of quick points here. First of all, this was a very big game, I think, psychologically for them. Forget about whether they win the title or not. You don't want to go to the rest of the year in a downward spiral and leave that taste in your locker room, with your fan base, with your club, with everything that goes along with having had an outstanding season up till this bit of a blip here where all of a sudden you started drawing games and dropping points. That's number one to me. Whether they, you know, get some good fortune or not with City losing a game or two, that's academic. But for me, they got to finish the year strong. Number two, when I look back at the City game, I just don't know who that broad-chested, clenched fist leader of the team is. I'm not sure who that is. I think that might be somebody who develops ultimately. You may have some thoughts on that. It could be a player that one day is brought in. I don't know. But I just, that day, and again, would that have even mattered? Because you ran into a team that you didn't want to run into at that time. And we called that shot, not like it was a tough shot to call here on the show. I didn't want to go into it too much, Andrew, because I didn't want you to be depressed with my prediction. But all right, so talk to me about 3-1 today for Arsenal over Chelsea.
It was a good win. You sort of blew Chelsea away in the first 60-ish minutes of the game. Could have been 4 or 5 through 60 minutes, probably should have been. But overall, a really good performance, especially considering what you've done over the past few weeks. And I think Arteta touched on it in his comments there that this was just a good return to basics almost win for them and return to the football that they have played for the majority of the season. And now the goal is to just continue to play that way for the last 4 games of the season and let the chips fall where they may.
Yep, that's it. And you got the Champions League money, which is going to be huge in building the club further. So I think this was a very, very important win here today. And, you know, I know there's people out there going, well, Chelsea's a mess. Yeah, they still got to beat a mess. And sometimes a mess can be dangerous, especially when they're talented players like Chelsea has. You know, you don't know if somebody decides to come up and play on the day. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. J.J. Watt and Kalia Watt announce investment in Burnley. I love it. J.J. says, quote, I'm unretiring from retiring. I'm not sure JJ is going to have a daily job there, but I do believe this is pretty cool. That's what he tweeted out. It's minority investment. A lot of, you know, it is kind of interesting how this trend of celebrity ownership, and let's be honest here, Kalia Ojai is a very accomplished soccer player, or Kalia Watt. I better get that right, or I could be in trouble from JJ, and he's a little bit bigger than me. But she mentioned that she wants to grow a women's team at Burnley. So I think these are all healthy things. They're very cool. Now, Wrexham, which has become America's darling, that's a whole interesting thing to me. It's interesting. So they went from the fifth tier of English football to the fourth, right? So they're going to play LA Galaxy 2, okay? Let me tell you, they would get smoked by every MLS team, okay? I'm just going to make that very clear. Most MLS teams would smoke Wrexham, okay? Sorry to bust your bubble. Tremendous history. Small Welsh side, celebrity owner, Ryan Reynolds, who's brought ridiculous attention to this. Underdog story. There's a Hollywood piece to this. They're going to play Man U's second team and Chelsea's second team. Kind of the little club that could, you know, all that kind of stuff. And the real lesson here with Wrexham is this. It is a thing called promotion and relegation. We don't have that in Major League Soccer. There's a lot of people that have been pining for that because it's easy for a coach in MLS to go, well, it's a long season and 62% of the teams make the playoffs and 18 out of 29 get in. And when we get that pie from Apple TV, we share it. You know, not as much skin in the game. And that does allow investment type owners a very safe bet. And they come in, they can invest in teams, buy teams, sit on it for a number of years and make a lot of money without putting a lot back into it. That's happened here in Houston in the past. So there is a story there. And promotion and relegation is a pretty amazing thing. I don't know when or if that'll ever happen here. But there is that is really the real message here to Wrexham. And I believe there's a lot of American sports fans who did not know a lot about soccer that learned about promotion and relegation, right? So pretty cool. So good for Wrexham. Good for Ryan Reynolds. I've seen enough of him, though. I'm glad Ronaldo disappeared for a while. He's coming back. Sometimes you just get overkill on a few of these people, you know? I mean, it's been kind of nice not having to hear about Ronaldo until he grabbed his crotch or whatever the heck he did recently, which was not a nice thing to do. Not a nice thing to do. All right, let me move on here. And I wonder what you're thinking about this. FIFA President Gianni Infantino urged broadcasters, those bidding on the Women's World Cup rights, media rights, to pay a fair price for the FIFA Women's World Cup. I don't know if that means in Europe that, and he specifically targeted Europe. He said Europe's still very disappointing, the type of offers, the amount of money that they're offering. He wants higher bids. Well, of course he does. He's with FIFA. That's right. And he assures us that 100% of the rights fees go straight into women's football. Okay, so that's one thing he assures us. So I have a little bit of a problem with some of this. He said public broadcasters in particular have a duty. He went on to say a moral and legal obligation not to undersell FIFA Women's World Cup. And to promote and invest in the women's sport. Yes, we all want promotion and investment in the women's game. So do I. We all do. But I don't know if you can tell a media company, you know, that they should pay more. They're going to pay what they think the value of it is. So I don't know about the whole going into moral and legal. It almost seems like a bit of a shaming in some ways, which... There's nobody more 100% behind women's football than I, because I have lived it. I've called tons of women's national team games, World Cup games. I've seen it from the college level back in the 90s to where the college game has gone now. I currently call a lot of the University of Texas women's games, and the level is ridiculous how it's improved. And we know that's improved around the world. We have seen some of the attendances. So... Anyway, 713-780-3776 if you care to opine. We're going to go to break here. Guys, I do want you to know, Andrew, and don't get upset. We're giving away tickets tonight, all right? Show's presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, John and his firm, personal injury attorneys. They're going to work for you 24/7 nights and weekends. Look, there is no other personal injury attorney firm to go to in Houston. It's John Daspit. It's the Daspit Law Firm. It's 713-CALL-NOW. It's 713-CALL-NOW bilingual. DaspitLaw.com. They are the presenting sponsors of this show. Thank you, John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. All right, I got a pair of tickets right now. Houston Dynamo, Real Salt Lake Saturday. It's caller number 6. You get them.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
So this is Bachman-Turner Overdrive. One of the legendary guitar players, Randy Bachman, recently passed and passed here, I think, in the last day or two. So Bachman-Turner, we're losing a lot of greats. I just want to wait for this chorus. Was in the Guess Who before this with the song American Woman. All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. A lot to talk about here tonight. I do want to remind people, and I didn't do it in the first segment, so I'm pulling myself back here. Daniel Starris will be on the show in the next segment, the Dynamo Defender. We're going to talk about being a central defender and having to play the right back position. And I think there's one thing here for, if there are young players out there, for us to recognize. He's not playing in a place that he wants to be in. He wants to play as a center back, but he's on the field. He makes the MLS team of the week for scoring the lone goal against Inter Miami. And things don't always go your way, but you find a way to get on the field. So I think Daniel Starris deserves a lot of credit. And you'll see, he approaches the right back position as a center back because that's where his qualities are. So we get into that tonight. Excellent interview. Super nice guy. So Daniel Starris will be coming up here shortly. The Dynamo will take on Real Salt Lake. They come in with former Dynamo assistant as the head coach, Pablo Mastroianni. They're a team that's struggling to score goals. They have 3 wins, a draw, and 5 losses. That's 10 points in 9 games. The Dynamo are 4-0 at home, looking to make it 5. They haven't been scored on here in Houston yet, which is also pretty amazing from the home perspective. They have yet to win on the road. So they got a lot of games this month. 6 league games, 3 on the road, 3 at home. Then they play Sporting Kansas City on the 10th in the Open Cup here in Houston. Tomorrow night, the Houston Dash are in the NWSL Challenge Cup, and that's all down at Shell Energy Stadium. Okay? I did give the props out to SG1U Soccer Club and Katie for doing the Kick Cancer Soccer Clinic. A big thank you to them. So Friday night, there's this thing. And I'm going to pump this up. It's called Margaritaville. It's at Silver Street Studios. And I'm going to this because it's for a young man that I knew before he passed from cancer. His name is Chance Davison. And it's to benefit the Chance for Hope Foundation. But I knew him and his family. I met him at Texas Children's Hospital. He was the coolest young man. I mean, he had a beaming personality. And I asked him once how he was doing, and he basically, his reply was, he looked at me and he just said, I try to make the best of every day. I wrote that day on a piece of paper when I got to my car. I still have it today. So I'm going on his behalf and to support his parents who have done a great job of creating this charity, the Chance for Hope Foundation. So I'm not sure I'm going to wear a bathing suit, but I'm going. And there's a great band from Austin playing at it that they've hired as well, Skyrocket. All right, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. How about we get a couple of goal calls from around the world of soccer? What do you think, Andrew? Maybe we'll start with Salernitana in a 1-1 draw with Napoli. Bulai Dia.
Dia, looking through a race test. Oh, yeah! What a strike by Bulai! Cold water to the face of Napoli. 7 minutes from time.
Just to remind you, there are other leagues around the world than the Premier League. All right, let's go to the Bundesliga. Bayern Munich, a 1-0 victory over Hertha Berlin. Sergei Gnabry. Serge.
And it's Kimi, and is this the moment? It is! Serge Gnabry for Bayern. Perhaps the goal that will lift Bayern back to the top of the table.
All right, Liverpool 4-3 over Spurs. Interesting seasons for both those teams. Here is Liverpool's winner from Jota.
The game was dead. Tottenham were nowhere. They had been shredded for a quarter of an hour. But now here's Jota. Diogo Jota!
Jurgen Klopp had something to say.
It's little things. Eh? It's little things. It starts somewhere. You have 3-0 up, but it looks like pretty easy, everything. And then all of a sudden, that leads you always on the wrong path in life and in football. And today we got punished for it, and rightly so. That we got away with it, thanks to Diogo, that he could score that goal. It makes it actually really spectacular. Everybody's probably going home and is buzzing. But I'm the manager of this team and not supporter number one. I have to mention the other stuff as well. And I told them already. So 3 days' time and go again, better.
Manchester United, for you Reds fans out there, we have supporters groups for all these teams in Houston, by the way, which are pretty amazing. This one goes out to Tom Clare, who continues to fight cancer down in Louisiana, our great friend and author. United 1-0 over Aston Villa. Bruno with the goal.
Casemiro's header releases Rashford, and three look to catch him. Martinez with the save. Fernandes! That's the goal Manchester United craved. That's the desire that Erik ten Hag demands.
You want to know a little secret from a commentator? You always sound better when there's a packed house. That's the bottom line. I've done games with 95,000 people in stadiums, and I've done games in giant stadiums. Okay, I'm going to give you a story here. Barcelona was on tour with Ronaldinho. We were doing it for HDNet, Marcelo Balboa and myself. We were in the by USC. What's the name of that stadium? That's the Coliseum. Coliseum.
Not the Rose Bowl?
No, Coliseum.
Okay.
And 90-plus thousand people. Ronaldinho's like a rock star waving a towel. He comes out after everybody. And also did a game in there with Cristiano Ronaldo and Real Madrid. So there's 95,000. I also did a game in that stadium, the USC Trojans women's soccer team, where I was at a table that was set up in the stands with 20 of the parents behind me trying to listen to everything that me and my partner were saying on the game. So there's the... And by the way, I enjoyed both games immensely. I enjoyed both games and the call of the game. All right, so that's that. Manchester City 2-1 over Southampton, who's, I believe, at the bottom of the table. This was a spectacular goal. I mean, this was something special from Julian Alvarez to get the win 2-1.
Mahrez, Alvarez, and still Alvarez goes. Oh, it is an absolute stunner. They lead again. Alvarez out of the top draw, into the top corner. Manchester City into top spot.
Yeah, let me correct myself. That was Fulham. By the way, Tim Ream broke his arm in that, has had surgery. Anthony Robinson really had a rough time in that game. The U.S. outside back who played so well in the World Cup. So there we go. We caught up with a couple of things there, some good stuff. Okay, so... I do want to get into later tonight. You got the Philadelphia Union taking on LAFC. That's a 9 o'clock leg two match. It's 1-1, I believe, on aggregate. That's a 9 p.m. start on FS1. Lionel Messi has been disciplined by PSG. I guess he just took off for, what was that, 2 weeks, Andrew? Just decided to take a flyer and go to the Middle East?
Yeah, he had a family trip that had been planned to go to the Middle East. I believe it was Saudi Arabia for multiple weeks now, and I guess they had to cancel it a couple of different times, and he was tired of canceling, so he said, you know what? I'm taking this trip with my family anyway, and PSG have, within their rights, to discipline him for that.
Yep, no question. A little lesser-known player, David Ochoa, who used to play for Real Salt Lake, but was a talented goalkeeper, has had some discipline issues in the past. Was released by San Luis down in Mexico. So that's one. Another little update here. If we remember back to the World Cup, there was a lot of people that were pushing for Santiago Jimenez to go from Feyenoord into Tata Martino's Mexico team, not bring maybe Funes Mori, right? So that was a real kind of an issue. People were thinking, look, this kid could be the future. Why not get him over there, get him understanding what a World Cup is like? So at Feyenoord, he was struggling to get minutes. He's worked very hard. He's now become a consistent starter. That happened in and around January. And now has 6 goals and an assist in his last 6 games at Santiago Jimenez. So, these are pretty remarkable stories. World Cup history is brought to you by Soccer Matters, and we're going to get into it right now. First World Cup was held in 1930. At the time, FIFA, the world's governing body, decided to put the tournament on. The FIFA president was Jules Rimet, which the trophy was ultimately named after. He birthed the idea of the tournament. It was held in Uruguay. It only lasted 17 days, and it only had 13 national teams. You're going to be very surprised to know that the United States was one of the 13 teams all the way back then. So for all of you out there who say we don't have a soccer history, we actually do. And that's because of a lot of immigrants as well. Okay, Uruguay won the title. Argentina were runners-up. And this country with no history, the United States, ended third. So it's interesting. All the matches were pretty much played in Montevideo. And that is your World Cup soccer history, brought to you by Soccer Matters. All right. 713-780-3776 is the number to call in. 713-780-3776, the number to call in. Again, we've got Daniel Starris coming up in the next segment. After that, it will be Philippe Senderos, a former Arsenal player who has been in management. We're going to talk to him about the transition from being a player that can actually control destiny on fields to going into the back room and dealing with contracts, board of directors, owners, all the other things that come along with that. He's really honest, too, around everything that happened. All right, so the Dynamo going into the RSL game this weekend. You know, we've said this pretty repeatedly here, but this is a better roster. It's a better team. There's no question a number of positions are better. There's competition. Look, Daniel Starris is a starting right back. He wants to play center back. You got Eric Svechenko, who's come in now, who's played at Celtic. I mean, you got a logjam there of competition. You got Ethan Bartlow, who wants to keep playing, who's had a good season. So you got a champagne problem there at the back. But undoubtedly, there are going to be people that are unhappy. And that's a fact when it comes to roster. So whenever you hear everybody's happy, it's a beautiful locker room, don't believe that. Okay? It can be a 100% respectful locker room. It does not have to be a happy locker room. Quite frankly, you don't want it to be a totally happy locker room. Now, balancing players that aren't playing and respect are the two things. And that's tough. And there are pecking orders, and there are players on teams that feel the coach is giving benefits to certain guys. That is a natural part of having a soccer team, and that's why when you talk about managers, it is tough to manage soccer teams because there's always somebody unhappy. And you can elect not to talk to them, or you can elect to talk to them on a daily basis, which can be tiring, which can be fatiguing to deal with the mentality of an entire roster. That's where your staff comes in to help you. So, lots of different things go on with a team. The same question remains for the Dynamo Saturday. How do you get better in the attacking third? Is it going to happen by clicking fingers? Is it going to happen with the new Nigerian striker that I don't think is going to be available for that? I think they're still working through paperwork. But that's one way of addressing what is going on with the Houston Dynamo and that attacking third and trying to make more things happen, chance creation, and goals. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back. Daniel Starris of the Houston Dynamo joins us next. We'll give another pair of tickets away, 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Caller number four. You get a pair of Houston Dynamo tickets. Houston Dynamo against Real Salt Lake. We'll have the call right here. By the way, we also need you. Subscribe to Spotify. Subscribe to Apple Podcasts. And hit us up because our podcast numbers are great. We're excited about that. Take a break.
Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. Great way to cap the first hour here on the show here tonight. Quick word, though, for my good friends over at Danish Inspirations, Modern Contemporary Furniture. I got a house full of this stuff. 2775 Fondren. It's the best in modern contemporary furniture. It's my great friend, Jan Christensen, the big Danish fan, the Danish Dynamite segment. DanishInspirations.com. You can see the wide selection of modern contemporary furniture. They got the Stressless line. Great stuff over there. Get in there. Danish Inspirations, Modern Contemporary Furniture, longtime sponsors of Soccer Matters. Helps to bring us our next interview. Houston Dynamo center back, but we're going to call him a right back for the moment. He is Daniel Starris. Daniel joins us now. Daniel, thank you very much for coming on tonight.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Shifting title there, I guess.
Well, listen, you're not only a center back and a right back, but you're also a father. So I do remember the last time we had you on talking about a newborn. So 9 months in, how's it going?
It's been good. It's been a wild ride, ups and downs, as I'm sure any new parents will tell you. But it's been fun, and I feel like we're getting to a little stage here where it's getting even more fun, almost talking, almost walking. So it's been good.
So let's get right into playing right back, because I don't think there's a broadcast we do now where we don't talk about, as a center back, the difficulty and the challenges of playing as a right back. Maybe take me into and my listeners into how you're navigating that, because it's not an easy thing to do. I know that from experience.
Yeah, not easy when tasked with that immediately. You know, I thought I was going to be working up and down the line, and you know, fitness was going to be the biggest factor in it. Coming from center back to kind of a right back or winger, any of those positions, it's just up and back, which is completely different than what I'm used to doing as a center back. But we've kind of shifted into the way we're playing, and it's allowed me to stay home a little bit more than I guess your typical right back would do. So I've been able to adjust to that, and then just getting the game time. My body's kind of transitioning, but yeah, it's just seeing the game differently. And you know, it's not necessarily an easy task going against some of these attackers we have in this league, one-on-one a lot of the time, isolations. You know, as you know, and like you said, something not us center backs are used to doing, and if we are, it's in different kind of spaces. So just working with that in trainings and on my own in trainings and things I can do to just get better each week I'm put out there.
You've done a great job of keeping the game in front of you, and of course, you know, any center back knows they don't want to be isolated with guys that are exceptionally explosive and quick and good off the dribble and all of that. Do you get the sense, because teams know that you're traditionally a center back, they may be going at you a little bit more?
Yeah, I mean, I think a few of these later games, it almost feels like they're intentionally trying to overload or, you know, bring different guys to my side, hopefully. And I feel like I have done a decent enough job. But, you know, I'll be the first to tell you I'm not going to be the best one-on-one defender you'll ever see as a right back, but I think I can hold my own. And I think for me, it's more about positioning myself, like you're saying. You know, the faster the guy is, the less space I want to give him behind, maybe want to get a little tighter on them. You know, it's things like that can help me with those bouts when I get into those spaces, and, you know, working with the guys around me too. The better job I do of setting up my winger or whoever's in that space, you know, if it's already in the middle or any midfielder too, the more help I'll have and the more we'll be able to kind of control our side. So it's just a bunch of different things, a bunch of different puzzles we're trying to solve all the time.
Daniel Starris joining us, Dynamo defender here on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5, presented by the Daspit Law Firm. But there are things that carry over, right? Like providing cover, you're now covering to your left to center back at times. You know, there are some principles that simply remain the same, right?
Yeah, I think that's kind of what's helped me, to be honest, is I'm just talking a lot. I know where I'd want my guys to be if I was playing that center back, and I'm trying to help Ethan, teenage, the center backs that have been playing here, you know, help them in that way. Okay, this is where I'd want my right back to be helping me on my shoulder. I should be inside and helping that out as well. So, yeah, I think it's definitely been beneficial, and there's things that absolutely carry over.
Well, you've done an exceptional job. You got named to the team of the week. Now, the goal against Miami. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, because there's terminology that flies these days that I'm not really sure what it means. Would we call that an underlap because you made an inside run? Is that what they're saying now?
I don't know if you want to call it that. The main question I'm getting from everyone is, what were you doing up there? why were you up so high? Which, you know, I like to respond, the proof's in the pudding there. There's a reason I was, but, yeah, no, I mean, I just ended up in that space cause we had good pressure on them. To be fair, I was asking for the ball to my feet from Coco before he played the ball to Corey. You know, thought I could just turn and hit a shot on goal, but it ended up working out. It was a great touch by Corey, great ball. You know, I'd love to find myself in those positions a little bit more. Why not?
Well, you've had a penchant for scoring goals in your career. So in some ways it was a little surprising since it came from the right back position, but in other ways it really, really isn't. Do you feel the strength of an improved roster on this team now? I mean, you know, I think from the outside, if we're being brutally honest, it just seems like a stronger roster to me.
I mean, I'm not going to necessarily compare who I think's better players of what we had, but I think the group we have here is a solid group and one that can definitely make a run and do well in this league. Position for position, I feel like we have strong players. We have good backups ready to go if they can't. Really this year, it's more about just meshing the team together. You know, we have some good individuals that have come in this year, some that have been here before. And I think the bigger part of it is just how we can actually play as a group versus being 10 individuals out there on the field, 11 with the goalie. So, that's kind of been the bigger thing. And I think we're going to turn into a good team that way. But yeah, we've got good solid players that we brought in this year and, you know, everyone's just getting better and better each week too.
I'm going to do a little sleight of hand and ask the question in maybe a little different way. With that stable midfield in front of it, I have to believe it's more comfortable for a back four.
100%. The midfield's a top midfield group. You know, Artie, Hector, Coco, Amin coming in, Yvonne playing inside too. It's a top group. I'd like to think some of those guys you could put up there as some of the best group of midfielders in the league. And, you know, you've got two guys that like to sit in front and win balls as well with Artie and Hector. So it's very beneficial, I think, to have those guys in there and helping our back line. It's a big thing for us.
Again, he's Daniel Starris, team of the week in Major League Soccer, Inter Miami. The Dynamo had the last weekend off due to a scheduling change with LAFC. The last match they played was on Wednesday, a 1-0 victory over Tampa in the Open Cup. So they're back in action Saturday right here on ESPN 97.5, by the way. 7 o'clock Central Time pregame show, so you can join, if you dare, Bobby Boswell and myself for that game. Unlocking goals. And I'm not trying to pry here, but you've had a lot of games where, you know, all these elements are together. Your team shape, great possession, you're getting into the final third. You're not scoring the goals maybe you want. You have to win games 1-0 and be in tight encounters. Is that frustrating? Is that something you feel is going to crack soon? Is it all of the above? How do you feel as players from that standpoint?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a little bit of all the above, like you're talking about. Maybe more frustrating. Well, frustrating for both, but frustrating probably for the attackers. They want to score. But I think it's something that's going to come. you know, as the season goes, you see it every single year. Teams start to figure it out after a couple months and figure out who's playing, how they're playing. The goals are kind of the last thing that usually comes, is the toughest part of the game. So yeah, I think it's something we obviously know that too. We're well aware and have been training it at the training ground. It's something we have focused on that we need to do better at. So I think as the year goes along, you'll see it start to open up a little bit and guys will catch form, hopefully catch some goals and strikes on the way. And, you know, like you said, it'll all round into shape.
Yeah. By the way, you look around the league, one of the teams struggling to score goals is coming in to play you this weekend, Real Salt Lake. There's a ton of teams that have the same problems. Colorado, there's the number of them that are really trying to find this additional element of the game. So I find that Austin FC, who's scoring goals like buckets last year.
Yeah. I mean, I think I heard or saw something that the goals at this point this year are down from last year or something. But, I mean, you can put that towards anything. So it's something I think that'll pick up pace in the summer, and we'll see how it goes from there.
But the other way of looking at that is you know, you guys have to play pretty mistake-free at the back. And there was a pressure when you don't get to play with leads a whole lot either, right? I mean, you know, it is nice to have a cushion once in a while from a mental perspective as a collective group defensively. And I do get it comes from the start. But, you know, sometimes it's a little bit more heavy laden on the back four and a goalkeeper.
Yeah, I mean, it's look, I'd love to be in a game like we've had against LA where it was 3-0 and we felt like it was over already. Of course, as a defender, that's what you want. But yeah, we've had to play good soccer at the back. I don't think it's just us at the back. Obviously, Steve's kept us in a couple games where we've needed him to make some big saves. I think it's coming down to team shape that's really helped and how compact we've been. So yeah, it's having to be as mistake-free as possible, but that's kind of what the job as a defender is. We don't get the opportunity to miss 5-6 touches, and the one that counts is the one that matters. No, I mean, we miss 5 or 6 plays, touches, whatever it is, that could be 2-3 goals right there. So as a defender, that's how we have to be always thinking. So that's what we've been doing, and I think we've all been covering each other's backs. So if we're not blocking shots, Steve's saving them, you know, and if we are blocking shots, he doesn't have to save all of them. And I think we've done a good job of balancing that so far.
Artur's been a great guy to have in front of you. Does he bring an air of confidence to a back four and to center backs and outside backs?
Absolutely. Yeah. He's been a leader in that midfield. He's got the positioning down pretty well, where he sits in front and helps clean up a lot of things before it gets to us. He's good on the ball as well, which means we can play out and have confidence in getting it to him, and he'll find the next line of attack. And he's done it in the MLS for a little while now and won an MLS Cup over in Columbus. So, yeah, he's brought a lot of confidence to the group.
Daniel Steris. Daniel, listen, best of luck this weekend. You've done a fantastic job of a difficult, very difficult role, in my opinion, having to move from center back to an outside back position. Team of the week, another one of the good stories so far here with all the wins at home. Daniel Steris, thank you so much for coming on tonight, Daniel.
Appreciate it. Enjoyed talking.
Best of luck against RSL as well.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right. That's Daniel Steris doing a fantastic job. Mentioned not only from a defensive standpoint, the goal against Inter Miami. And listen, this is not easy to play out of position like he is doing, and he is getting the job done and holding it down at the right back position. Danish Inspirations Modern Contemporary Furniture, 2775 Fondren, danishinspirations.com. Stressless line is there. The best in modern contemporary furniture. It's Danish Inspirations Modern Contemporary Furniture.